From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this news. As the partial government shutdown enters its second month, more people than usual are stopping by the food bank in Juneau.
Yes, of course. Yes, this shutdown, I believe it took a lot of people by surprise. I know there have been some individuals who have told me, you know, they never thought they'd be in this position.
Darren Adams is the manager of the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. Today, he opened the food bank beyond its regular hours and invited federal workers to come by and take home up to 50 pounds of food. He says the longer the shutdown lasts, the greater the need becomes.
A lot of people think, okay, you know, I can make a week's worth of groceries stretch for 10 days if I need to, but you can't make a week's worth of groceries stretch for a month.
And since the shutdown began, Adams says he's heard from more people in Juneau who want to volunteer their time, including federal workers on furlough. Adams says he will continue to open the food bank to federal workers every Monday until the government is reopened. And the Kuskokwim 300 sled dog race has a new champion and a new record, but not without some last-minute confusion to throw the leaderboard into question. The hard, fast trail combined with good weather and some of the sport's top teams made for a competitive cluster at the front of the pack. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports.
It was still totally dark, save a bright full moon at 7:02 Sunday morning when Matthew Fahler arrived first to the finish line with 11 dogs in harness. The 36-year-old, who mushes out of Willow, has competed in the Cusco twice prior, and his dogs have been here before, finishing fifth in 2018.
Last year was great. This is the same group from last year, and they're a fantastic, wonderful, intelligent group of dogs.
Fahler appears to now hold the fastest win in the race's 40-year history. At a total elapsed time of 36 hours and 32 minutes, his performance beats Martin Boozer's old record from 25 years ago. Because Fahler split his 6 hours of mandatory rest into 2 3-hour chunks in each Kalskag stop, he had well-rested dogs for the final 100 miles. His team was peaking at the right time. After posting the fastest run time of the field, Fahler moved to the front of the pack on the run into Tuluksak and held his lead through the final 50 miles into Bethel. Even still, Fahler's win was slim. Three other mushers arrived at the finish line in just over 20 minutes. Nicholas Petit, the second racer to arrive, pulled in less than 2 minutes later.
I lost the trail.
Yeah.
I took a little extra.
Immediately on arriving, though, Petit told a race judge he'd gone off course. He'd been racing with his headlamp off and went down Church Slough, shaving about a mile and a half off the trail. After a review, the race levied a 1-hour penalty, knocking him to fourth place, a difference worth $8,000 in prize money. Petit congratulated Fahler in the race chute, but the misstep was reminiscent of his 2018 Iditarod run when he lost his lead after straying from the trail during a ground storm. Petit was self-effacing about his misfortune.
Yeah, getting lost. That's what I do. I get lost.
Defending 4-time champion Pete Kaiser arrived third on Sunday morning, but is now declared the number 2 winner. After lagging a bit in the first part of the race, Kaiser leapfrogged past several mushers during the second half, but not quite enough to close in on the leaders.
We had a good last 150 miles. Might have sandbagged a little too much at the beginning, but that gave us some extra power at the end. So that was our gamble and didn't work out perfectly, but still happy with our finish.
Kaiser and other race veterans said the trail conditions were good relative to recent years, though there were some reports of moose holes and rough patches in some areas upriver. Temperatures hovered around zero, comparatively mild for the K300. Still, even a good trail along the Kuskokwim means ice. Jesse Holmes was the next musher to arrive and said he tipped his sled on the way inbound, spending the last 50 miles kicking through pain.
My legs sure took a beating. I crashed my sled this morning and got drug on my knees through some ice, and I couldn't really move around too much in Tuluksak. But once I got on the sled, the adrenaline got going. So
Holmes says he too lost some time from a deviation off the trail heading into Bethel. However, he did as the rules require, doubling back to the marked trail before continuing, and suffered no official penalty, taking home third place. In fifth was past K300 champion Jeff King, followed soon after by last year's Iditarod winner, Yor Olsen. Matthew Fahler's victory brings with it $25,000 from a total race purse of $160,000. In Bethel, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Members of the Fairbanks chapter of the NAACP met with U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan on Sunday. Topics discussed ranged from discrimination in law enforcement to voting rights, teacher-student ratios, and the ongoing partial federal government shutdown, which Fairbanks NAACP President Benny Colbert pressed Sullivan about.
It's not about who wins or loses. Yeah. It's about these people out here who don't have a paycheck.
Yeah. I've been putting a lot of energy into trying to limit the impacts of the shutdown on Alaskans. We have huge fisheries opened in January, billion-dollar fisheries. And what I've been doing literally since all this started is working with these federal agencies. They have to sign off on inspections. They have to sign off on plans.
Alaska's pollock fishery opened yesterday, with most boats getting by on licenses issued and inspections conducted before the shutdown. Sullivan also told the group he's working on the Pay Our Alaska Coast Guard Act. The Coast Guard is the only military branch whose members are not getting paid during the shutdown. Another issue that came up is the proposed changes to Title IX. Meeting attendee Dorothy Jones asked Sullivan about alterations proposed by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, which would weaken aspects of the federal law that protects against gender discrimination at educational institutions.
The proposed changes by the Secretary of Education, that narrows the definition of sexual harassment, and it alters when schools are required to respond to reports of sexual harassment and violence.
Sullivan pledged to look at the Title IX changes while also noting that the Violence Against Women Act has expired and cannot be renewed during the shutdown. He also emphasized his recent federal legislation, the Pro Bono Work to Empower and Represent, or POWER Act, which passed last fall.
Studies show that if you're in a cycle of abuse and violence, the best way to break out of that cycle is to get the victim a lawyer.
The law won't fund any legal services, but encourages attorneys to donate their time. Now, Alaska has been in a recession for the better part of 3 years, and the state's unemployment rate is the highest in the nation right now at 6.3%. But there are some signs that the losses are slowing. The state's Department of Labor and Workforce Development released its December employment numbers on Friday, and they show that some sectors of the economy are still losing jobs. But state economist Neil Fried says some, like the oil and gas industry, are recovering.
You know, one is the negatives have, generally speaking, gotten considerably smaller, especially in negatives like oil and gas, which was a big, big loser. Those losses got a lot smaller, and actually oil and gas employment turned positive in December.
Turning positive means that in December of last year, there were more people employed in the oil and gas industry than there were a year before. Oil industry jobs have been in a free fall since they peaked in 2015. Those jobs come with a caveat, though. If oil prices tank again and stay down, that could slow down work in the oil patch. Still, Fried says that the work that's projected to be done this year is probably not going to be affected.
I mean, most of those projects and the activity is probably in place, unless something really dramatic happened with price. Because, you know, a lot of our oil industry activity is more project-based. Ours are more, you know, if you get started, you're probably going to finish it.
That sentiment was echoed by ConocoPhillips Alaska President Joe Marushak.
And we really have to plan our program out, you know, at least 6 months, 8 months, 9 months out in the future. So we're in the middle of our what we call ice road season, or our heavy drilling season, exploration season right now, and that'll be done in the next 4 or 5 months. So, no, I wouldn't say oil prices, whether they go up or down, will impact the 2019 program much, if any, at all.
ConocoPhillips estimates that its construction and exploration season will peak at about 800 contracted positions this year. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.
Hi, this is John Gagin, the host of Wednesday Morning Cross Currents. I listen to KRNN because there's all sorts of music that I like that you just can't hear anywhere else. Jazz, blues, alternative rock. Can't find it anywhere but KRNN, so that's why I'm a fan. Tune in at 102.7 on your FM dial.
Programming support comes from Alaska Seaplanes, connecting Juneau to 12 communities in Southeast Alaska, plus seasonal service to Whitehorse starting in April. More information online at flyalaskaseaplanes.com. Alaska Seaplanes, flying at a higher standard.